the Rich Keefe Show. Here we go, you're now rocking with the Rich Keefe Show on your radio.
You're about to hear the chronicles from a topical, comical, and knowledgeable Boston sports talker, dropping it in hotter than a tropical climate. Breaking news, he supplies it, and you want the truth? Scoops Keefe will find it. Scoops. He's talking about all the sports, and he's also a hashtag dork, and a father of two sweet daughters, the leader of your squad for you evening marauders and night commuters. Tune in and sit tight, 6 to 10, more like 6 to midnight, ow. The mic's hot on the Night's Watch crew, Celtics, Bruins, Pats, and Red Sox too, doing this since the Rich Keefe Project. Now he's got podcasts and Twitch stream content, KWFE on WEEI, it's the Rich Keefe Show, so here's your guy.
All right, here we go. It's a Wednesday night edition of the Rich Keefe Show. Thanks for tuning in here on WEEI and 4 hours for you. No full tang Fitzy, no full tang Andy Hart. You just heard them on the afternoon program. They're going to be in there the next couple of days as well. But fear not, it won't simply just be my voice tonight. Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald will join us at 7:20. And our old buddy Nick Fryer talks some Celtics at 8:20. But plenty of time for you guys at 617-779-7937. And again, you can always follow us and interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. Really a little something for everybody tonight. We have takeaways on the Patriots coaching staff, and maybe we could read into it a little bit more based on the Shrine Bowl, which is coming up. I really do want to talk Bruins because I got some wild numbers. Once again, the Rich Keefe Show stats and info department, hard at work today. No stone unturned when you're talking about the research department for the Rich Keefe Show. So got to talk about it because normally when a team is just a wagon and you can't get upset and you can't pick holes in it, it doesn't really get talked about enough. So the Bruins deserve some credit on an off night for both the Bruins and the Celtics. We're going to hit on both of those teams quite a bit. So if you're not Bruins fans, this will be a night where we talk about really just how great they are. Pretty much that's what I have in store. But I got some numbers and some wild numbers that kind of back that up. But I do want to start with the Boston Celtics. We were on last night during the game. So once again, have sort of one eye on it in the moment, able to catch up on it after the fact. Or really, you know, the fourth quarter and the final, like them letting a double-digit lead slip away and then just how they sort of managed the final few minutes. That's really the big takeaway. Not just that they lost to the Miami Heat without Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Al Horford. That obviously is not the end of the world. And even the loss in Orlando, not the end of the world. The Celtics still the best record in the NBA, and they right now have a bunch of injuries. And so they lose to Orlando. We talked about that one a little bit yesterday. They apparently suck against the Magic, for whatever reason that is. And then they lose to the Miami Heat. But there still are a couple of things that you can gather without freaking out, without just losing your mind about, again, the best team in the NBA and a team that I would still pick to go all the way. Doesn't mean they're perfect, right? Doesn't mean there's not a few flaws in there. And so the Orlando Magic game, one of the big takeaways was when Jaylen Brown had the opportunity to be the guy, right? Jason Tatum was out for a little bit. You already had a couple of other injuries going into the game. When Jaylen Brown had the chance to take over the game, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Turnover city, turnovers. That's always a problem with this team when they struggle. Games that they lose, whether it was last year in the playoffs or the whatever it is, 14 games that they've lost this year, you look at the turnovers. And Jaylen Brown was a turnover machine against the Magic, particularly in that third quarter, and they lost. All right, next night, Miami Heat. No Jaylen Brown this time around. You have some pretty funky lineups, ones that you're not really accustomed to seeing. In fact, right out of the chute, Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams are both in the starting lineup, along with Tatum, Derek White, and Time Lord. Minutes off the bench, I mean, Sam Hauser was essentially the sixth man. You also got Justin Jackson and the Murder Cornet. Basically eight guys. I know Blake Griffin played a little bit, but basically eight guys, four of them you don't even really want to have to normally play. So that was sort of the state of affairs. Now, on the other side, no Jimmy Butler for the Miami Heat. Did you see that poor kid, by the way, who had there's like the video going around? He's holding up a sign. He's like, I traveled 4,500 miles to see Jimmy Butler. I'm like, man, that's kind of random, right? Like, Jimmy Butler's good, but who's traveling 4,500 miles? Anyway, somebody like whispers into the kid's ear. They're like, oh, yeah, he's got a back injury. He's not playing. And the kid was devastated.
Yeah. How does the usher feel having to be like, hey, kid?
Hey, nice sign.
Hey, little guy.
Butler's not playing. But he got to see a pretty good game. You know, if you like low-scoring games, at least a modern-era low-scoring game. And they're like, hey, good news. Not only is Jimmy Butler not playing, but Jalen Brown and Malcolm Brogdon and Marcus Smart and Al Horford, they're also out. You got to see 42 minutes of Peyton Pritchard. Not what the kid traveled 4,500 miles for. 4,500 miles? Like, what, is he living the moon? That's a hike.
I was going to say, where is he coming from?
What's 4,500 miles away from Miami? We're going to have to pull a globe out now. We're going to have to take a look at where this kid's coming from. But he did not get to see his favorite player, sadly, Jimmy Butler. But the Miami Heat got a win. But, again, so if Jalen Brown turning it over and not, you know, taking over the game against the Magic was the story, how they closed out, and specifically Joe Mazzulla's decision to hang on to timeouts at the end of this game, that's the big takeaway for me. Now, again, they didn't play a perfect game. They turned it over 17 times. Jason Tatum, once again, had a bunch of turnovers in this one. And obviously they were undermanned. All right, so be it. So was Miami, and the Celtics are a far superior team. They should be. But you're down by two, and you just walk the ball up the floor, and you don't really run much of anything, and then you keep those timeouts. Two timeouts. Like, what were you planning on doing with those? And I'm all for, like, this was a big talking point for Joe Mazzulla early in the year, was that, man, the guy really doesn't take his timeouts, and, you know, the opponent goes on a 10-0 run, and he lets him figure it out. Yeah, in the second quarter, I'm all for it. Like, that's not always going to be what stops the run, right? Like, yeah, go ahead, let the guys figure it out. You got a great team, a team that was in the NBA Finals last year. Let them figure it out. I would say second quarter, third quarter, first quarter, whatever, that's different than right at the end of the game. And also, yeah, you had Jason Tatum out there, but if Tatum was out on the floor with Horford, Smart, Brown, Brogdon, then I think you have a much stronger case to say, oh, they'll figure it out. I trust these guys. We got veteran guys out there. I trust them. Mazzulla also went on to say that, you know, well, if I call timeout, then they can put their defensive lineup in the game. Like, what? Well, they get Dikembe Mutombo and Gary Payton coming off the bench now, and Ben Wallace. Like, in the NBA, and this has been this way for a long time, really post-90s where they would let guys just get mauled, really, really good offense is going to beat really, really good defense every time. Like, it just is every single time. So you're so afraid that they're going to be able to bring in their defensive stoppers, who are who, by the way? Like, is it Oladipo? I don't even know who he's considering that. And they're like, oh, like, maybe now you can go right at Tyler Hero. Like, he came up with the steal anyway in the game. And they didn't really run anything. So Mazzulla had two things that he said in the postgame where he's like, well, we didn't want them to get their defensive lineup in, which I kind of scoff at. And he's like, I should have called a better play. Should have called a play. Like, I don't even know if there was a play in that one. So it was just sort of Jason Tatum kind of walks it up, and then shockingly, he gets double teamed. And then the next thing you know, it's another turnover and they lose the game. So like I said, a loss at the end of January is not the end of the world. A road loss to Miami on the second night of a back-to-back. No one's freaking out about it, but it once again puts Joe Mazzulla, interim coach Joe Mazzulla, back in the crosshairs a little bit. And a couple of weeks ago, the very early part of the Rich Keefe show, the early going, we sort of discussed, I think it might have been a night that Fitzy was in, just sort of saying, is Ime Udoka completely out of this? Like, is there any chance? And I really don't think there is a chance. But he seemed to get these guys to play better defense. You know, it might have been after the night they gave up 150 to the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think we were talking about, like, I know they have this great record, but is Mazzulla the right guy for the job? It's hard to know right now for sure one way or the other. They have this great record, and yet they still have some really head-scratching losses, like 3 to Orlando, the Thunder game that I mentioned, and now last night to the Heat, where what are you hanging on to those timeouts for? Now, I'll give him credit. At least he came up with a reason, right? He's not like Anthony Lynn from the Chargers a couple years ago. He's like, how come you waited 30 seconds to call timeout? And he's like, I'm not sure. So at least Mazzulla had a reason, but I don't really buy it. So you think that if Miami puts in this defensive lineup, which again, I don't even know what that would be, then now there's no way Tatum's going to get a shot off. Not against those guys. It's like, nah, I'd still take my chances for Tatum. Or just kind of let everybody relax a little bit. Be like, hey, just calling a timeout. You still have another one in case of emergency, right? Like on an inbound or something stupid like that, or a guy's falling out of bounds. Like, you still have another timeout, but draw something up. I still don't really understand what he meant. He's like, I should have called a better play. Like, what the hell was the play? It's like, let's just let Tatum bleed it out. I know you're down two, so you can go for the win, or you can tie it up and, you know, play for overtime. Like, you still have choices when you're down by two. But I didn't love that, and let's see how they respond from here. Right? Like, it looks like they're going to be getting a lot of their guys back for this upcoming homestand. It looks like Marcus Smart's still going to be out for, I guess, like a week or two potentially. But Jaylen Brown and Horford and Brogdon, I think, are going to play tomorrow night against the Knicks. That's some of the early reporting there. So, once again, like, when this team loses a couple of games, like they had that three-game losing streak earlier in the middle of December, or sort of later December, those two Orlando games, then Indiana, then they went on a four-game winning streak, and part of that winning streak was the Christmas Day game against Milwaukee. So, like, all right, they kind of turned things around. So they're in another similar situation where you have two losses. Sure, there was injuries, but there were still bigger issues at play there where they lost. And now you got the Knicks, Lakers, Nets, and Suns all at home. I think they're all like primetime national games too. At least the first three of them are. So you're going to, you know, how do they respond to that? And we'll see. Because I know Mazzulla's style seems to be let the guys on the floor figure it out. But when the guys are, you know, Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams, like, I don't know, maybe mixing a timeout. And or do you not, are you not confident enough to draw something up, like scheme something up? And I think just the way that Jason Tatum handled that last possession, I don't think he would have been pissed. Right? Like, sometimes you see the star player has the ball in their hand and they see the coach call timeout and they roll their eyes. Like, I got it. Like, I got it. I got the matchup I want. I'm not really entirely sure Tatum had the matchup. And especially when he gets double teamed and he's out there with a bunch of guys that maybe aren't great shooters, I think he was kind of frustrated with all that. By the way, speaking of Marcus Smart, I don't know if you've seen this. Ben, you see on Twitter, Marcus Smart tweeted out not that long ago a, like, hype video, maybe? And it's him in, like, the shadows. So you can't really, you know it's him, but you can't really tell that it's him. And then at the very end of it, there's a little bit of music, and it says 1:30:23. So it's, like, hyping up next Monday. Like, what is that? They don't play Monday. I'm like, is he hyping up his return from an ankle injury? Does he maybe have a new sneaker? Like, I have no idea what it is. But right before the show, I saw that with Marcus Smart. I'm like, okay. You see what I'm talking about? It just, it's got a whole, it actually doesn't even have that many views yet. He put it up an hour ago, 1:30:23. It's him holding something.
Is he like releasing like his own set of clothing or like a clothing line or a shoe line? God. It's got to be something like that, yeah. Right?
Good timing. Just lost two games and you're out with an injury. Let's fire up a t-shirt deal. Yeah, he's holding some sort of box. It doesn't look like a shoe box. So if anybody's got any theories on that, at Rich Keefe Show on Twitter, or you can text us 37937. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Marcus Smart chocolates?
Ooh!
Right before Valentine's
just
Day.
Just in time! That's not a bad idea. Oh, would my wife love it if I got her some Marcus Smart chocolates? Oh, boy.
Hey, honey, yeah. Look what I got you.
Defensive player of the year. What do you say? Pretty good. So Celtics are on the table. They will be all night long. Are you upset with Joe Mazzulla? Are you good with it? You say, you know what? It's just a loss in January, or back-to-back losses in January. He made the right call to let Tatum kind of figure something out. I would suggest that he didn't, but could also be a learning opportunity for Joe Mazzulla. We'll see. Again, you have another 40 or 30-something games left to go in the regular season. Maybe an opportunity like that presents itself again, and we'll see if he chooses to do anything differently. 617-779-7937 is the number to jump aboard. Celtics, we will get to the Patriots coaching staff, but when we come back, I want to hit on the Bruins and just how good they really are. Pretty crazy when you take a look at it and compare them to some of these all-time teams. So this is the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. Right now, here's Ben Charleston with What's Trending.
You're listening to the Rich Keefe Show on Boston Sports Original. WEEI.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
All right, back here on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Two hot accounts right now, at Rich Keefe Show. And the Rich Keefe Show stats and info department, hard at work once again today. No separate Twitter account for them just yet, but they have been just turning over every stone looking for good nuggets. They had the one about the AFC quarterbacks representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. That was a monster one on Monday. Well, today, got some on the Boston Bruins. That's right, we haven't talked a ton of Bruins. One, because what can you possibly say other than that they are a wagon? Like, they are nasty. They win again. So last night, they go into Canada. They beat Montreal 4-2. You know, Pastrnak, it was an empty netter, but Pastrnak scores another goal. They get great goaltending. They have great defensemen. They are deep. Everybody scores goals. There's nothing not to like about the Boston Bruins. They all seem to love their new coach, et cetera, on down the line. So it got me thinking as I'm driving home last night, another win for the Bruins. Are the Bruins the greatest team of all time? I know what you're saying. Hey, Keith, easy, easy. But seriously, they are ridiculous. They win every single night. And I know you're like, well, there are so many great teams, and I understand you need to win the cup to even be considered. They could win out but then lose in the cup final, and they wouldn't be one of the great teams of all time. I get it. I get it. But the team to score the most points in the regular season in the history of the NHL was the 1977 Montreal Canadiens, who had 132 points in 80 games. The Bruins are on pace for 139 points. Actually, just over. It's like 139 point whatever. So I rounded down a little bit. So I mean, they could be on 140 point clip. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely insane. And so what I also did was just to compare them to two other Bruins teams. And it's funny because when Ryan Davey was on last Friday, he's a huge hockey guy. He's our hockey expert here on the show. I was asking him, like, is this the best Bruins team we've ever seen? And he's like, yeah, probably. Probably is. So I went to the cup winning team. I didn't want to go all the way back, right? I'm not going back to Bobby Orr. I mean, we could. Listen, it's a four-hour show. We could certainly do that. But I didn't go back to Bobby Orr. I didn't even go to some of those teams that were close and didn't win it with, like, Cam. I went to where we can all wrap our heads around 2011 when they won the whole thing, and then 2019 when they lost in the cup final. I know they also lost in the cup final in 13, but if you remember, that was an abbreviated season. In fact, they only played 48 regular season games that year, which is coincidentally right around where the Bruins are right now. They played 47 games. But the 2011 Bruins, they had 103 points, whatever. So it wasn't like they didn't blow doors in the regular season. But I wanted to look into, all right, well, how many goals were they scoring? How many goals were allowed? And so obviously you look at these teams and they had different styles, right? You go back to, it's Claude Julien, it's Tim Thomas. They're going to grind you out. Everybody assumes they won every game 2-1 or 1-0. 2019's Cassidy, where it's a little bit more scoring, more entertaining, for at least in my eyes. And then how does that compare to this team with Jim Montgomery? So the Bruins team in 2011 that won the cup scored, get ready for some numbers, but I'm going to make it make sense. So when they won the cup, they scored 244 goals. They allowed 189. Or simply put, they averaged 2.97 goals per game. They allowed 2.3. So a difference of 0.67, like two-thirds of a goal. So that was sort of their average. They had a plus goal differential, obviously. Their two goaltenders that year were Tim Thomas and Tuukka Rask. Tim Thomas had a 2 flat goals against. Rask was 2.67. And if you average it all out, it was 2.21, again, with those guys. And so that's great, right? Like, that's really good. Now, their scoring wasn't as high. That was the year Milan Lucic was a 30-30 guy, so he had 62 points. Krejci also had 62 points. That led the team. So you're like, all right, that's sort of a grind it out. You win, and whatever that was the formula to win the cup. 2019, they scored 107 in the regular season. They scored 3.13 goals a game, but they allowed 2.58 for a goal differential of 0.55. So, again, they were kind of similar to that team. Like, they allowed a few more goals. They scored a few more goals. That was a Tuukka Rask Yaro Halak combo, which gave up 2.42 goals against. However, you had 3 30 goal scorers that year, Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron. So you see the scoring go up a little bit with Bruce Cassidy kind of going away from the Claude system. This team, is significantly better than both of those teams. So right now they're averaging 3.8 goals per game. So, I mean, that's over half a goal. It's like 0.7 goals higher than the 2019 team, which again had 100-point guy and Brad Marchand. Like, that was the best line in hockey for a while. So they're scoring more goals than that team, and they're allowing fewer than the Thomas Rask team of 2011. They're allowing just over 2 goals a game. So the goal difference is 1.78, which is insane compared to those other two teams. Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman combined, and then you had the one game with Kincaid, but it's 1.96 allowed. It's ridiculous what these guys are doing. It's insane. They're better than the Thomas Rask combo. And I know, again, you could say, well, it's just the regular season, and Thomas really kind of went even crazier in the postseason. I get it, and he was awesome in the Cup final. It's true. But I know, just the way that I was thinking about it is nobody's going to, like, grind out games more like they did in 2011. And when you had Chara and you had Seidenberg and you had Tim Thomas, like, that was unreal. No, this team, they smother opponents more. The Linus Ullmark, Linus has better numbers than any of those guys did in any of those years. And Swayman is just as good as anybody, certainly the best backup, if you will. And, oh, by the way, David Pastrnak is on pace for 65 goals. So you can go back. Milan Lucic and David Krejci led the 2011 team with 62 points. Pastrnak will probably get more goals than those guys had points. And, again, you're thinking, well, 2011, you didn't score a lot of goals, but you didn't allow any. They're allowing fewer now. And so they have to be considered. Now, they got to play this thing out. But if they go on to win the whole thing, and I know we're a long ways away from that, they'd be the greatest team of all time. They would. They'd be the best team of all time. And it's nuts because it's like, well, they don't have Bobby Orr. They don't have Wayne Gretzky. They don't have Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. But for what they're doing right now, it's so impressive. It doesn't seem to be an end in sight because they'll lose a guy for injury, and it doesn't matter. Somebody else steps up. Right, like DeBrusque is out. It's like, all right, fine. We'll just shuffle the lines a little bit more. You have two goalies that are playing better than that. What, they're both top five goalies in the league. And I'm not saying you would have predicted that at the beginning of the season or that they're going to be like that for the next 5 or 10 years. I'm just saying for this season right now, they're insane. They're insane. And so tomorrow night, they're in Tampa Bay. So then this is going to be an interesting road trip, see how they do. I mean, they're on another crazy winning streak. What, 6 games? And 10 of 11, they've won. In fact, the last game they lost, Ben, was when I picked against them in the Bet du Jour, which makes sense. That's Seattle game. But Tampa, Florida, Carolina, Toronto. It's going to be an interesting little 4-game road trip. But who wants to play the Bruins right now? They just show up to wherever you are and dominate. Now, when they're at home, like, they can't lose at home. But they're just good everywhere. But I just, again, they don't get as much discussion around here because everything's going well. Everything's going right for them. You know, you look at the Patriots, they're trying to figure out the coaching staff. You look at the Celtics, and they had these little random blips, even though they have the best record in the NBA. And then you have the freaking Red Sox, and that offseason, let's just be nice, call it a roller coaster of an offseason for the Boston Red Sox. And then ho-hum, Bruins just win again. So there isn't a whole lot more to add. That's why I wanted to look into some of the overall numbers. And yeah, if you're comparing them to other teams, just other recent Bruins teams, they're going to blow that out of the water. I mean, they can go, even fall way off the current pace that they're on and still just be the best regular season team this Bruins team has had, certainly in a long time. I mean, Cassie's teams were great. And one of Claude's teams had, Claude's high year was 117 points, which is nothing to sneeze at. And Cassidy's high water number was 112. They're going to fly past both of those numbers.
Is it time to start talking about the President's Trophy curse? Is that
so?
Is it,
you know what?
Do we need to start talking that?
Listen, I'm not suggesting that they throw the best record in all of hockey, but when was the last time the President's Trophy winner also won the Stanley Cup?
I think I looked it up. I think it was like the 2012 Chicago Blackhawks.
I think you're right.
Sometime around then.
It's been like one in the last 12 or 15.
Yeah, it's like pretty, the last few have been, they won the President's Cup, got bounced, and then they won Stanley Cup the next year when they weren't President's Cup winner.
I think the Bruins weren't, that happened to them once or twice, yeah. Right? When they won the President's Cup.
Well, it'd be a real problem for the Bruins. Like, how many games do they have to throw to get out of that?
I would think a bunch based on the way that they're going. There were other teams that were kind of in the mix, and then they kind of fell off a little bit. But, yeah, let's take a look at the – when was the last time the Bruins won it? I feel like it was – they won it in 20 and they won it in 14. And both times they lost in the second round. So it wasn't even like, hey, let's get to the finals and win. Yeah, teams don't seem to do very well. Yeah, who was – so the Blackhawks did it in 13 and the Red Wings did it in 08. But if you go back to 03, that's a 20-year sample. Two teams have won it after having the best record. That is wild. It's not 20 seasons because obviously there's a lockout year in there, which is classic hockey. But still, like that is just a wild nugget. But again, maybe they're so good because you look at some of the President's Trophy winners there. It's a lot of 117, 118, 113. The Lightning. Now, the Lightning were a wagon in 19. They had 128 points and they lost in the first round. That was wild. That also helped the Bruins get to the Cup final because remember, that was the year that all the good teams lost. Like everybody, like Pittsburgh, I think lost in the first or second round. The Lightning obviously lost in the first round, and the Bruins were playing the Carolina Hurricanes. And you're like, what? Like how did they get here? So that was a crazy year. But Florida won it last, or won it being the President's Trophy, and then they get bounced in the second round. So yeah, normally it's not something that you want, but I wonder if the Bruins are just so freaking good that they might be President's Trophy jinx. Proof. That might just be how good they are. All right, 617-779-7937. Celtics, Bruins, both on the table for you here early on. We will get to the Patriots and their coaching staff. But right now, let's go to JD in Cali. He joins us next. What do you got, JD?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the Celtics a little bit. You know, the Celtics measure success with the number of banners that they hang from the rafters. Anything short of that, it really doesn't matter. And I look at the season consisting of like three parts to it, the regular season that we're in, the playoffs, and then also the championship round if we get there. And I looked at the Celtics playing the first game against the Warriors, and then I looked at the recent game they played against the Warriors. And here's the problem. Here's why I would not bet my mortgage on the Celtics winning a championship if they play the Warriors. They haven't figured it out yet. The biggest problem they have, in my opinion, is not even the players. It's the coaching, the mismatching of coaching on the floor. Steve Kerr is just a far superior coach. Still have not figured out. You pointed to the fact that Jaylen Brown made all those turnovers. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the Warriors are so clever at baiting them to drive to the basket to ball handle the ball. That's where the biggest turnovers come with both of those guys. Is taking the ball off the dribble. And the Warriors give it. They invite them to do that because they know they are not good ball handlers, and their best bet at stopping them is not at the rim, but it's before they get to the rim. And I don't trust Jason Tatum. I don't trust Brown, and I don't trust the coach. And I used to coach basketball at the high school and college level.
Oh,
and I
nice.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
This all falls on the coach. He's got a turnover. You mentioned a turnover machine and Jaylen Brown. He's got two turnover machines. He needs to clean those two guys up. The coach is the whole key right here, in my opinion. It's not the Celtics. The Celtics play fine defense. They're a great team. They can win a championship, not against the Warriors, because they are going to be outmatched on the bench by Steve Kerr.
Well, what do you make of their win over the Warriors the last time out, where they didn't shoot well at all and they still found a way to win?
Yeah, they found a way to win, but the Celtics did not play well.
Right. Isn't that more impressive? They won a game where they didn't play well.
But the Warriors, well, okay, I hear your point is there, but the Warriors were missing three people. They had three injuries, three guys that did not play that could have made a difference in that.
All their best players played.
My whole point is, the same mistakes they made in game 4, game 5, game 6 against the Warriors that I went to in California, the same mistakes they made against the Warriors, they continue to make. There has been no pivot away from those mistakes. I don't know why this coach can't change it. These players can't change who they are. They're just going to turn the ball over. But the coach can move a couple pieces on that chessboard and make it so that they don't handle the ball in the open court. Because that's where the game was lost That's where the series was lost last year.
They had a bad finals, but I don't think that's going to be what they are all the time. And to your point, I mean, you look at the Magic game, Jaylen Brown was turning over once again. Like, I don't know if those guys all of a sudden are going to be great with the ball and never turn it over. Right, but how much, so that's on Ime Udoka and Joe Mazzulla? Like, I think when they went out and got another ball handler and another distributor in Malcolm Brogdon, I think that is going to make things easier for those guys. And there should be more opportunity for him in these really important games. You saw the big minutes that he played against the Golden State Warriors. That's something that they didn't have in the finals. So when you go back to the six-game series where they were up 2-1 and then they lost three straight games, they turned it over a lot. They didn't shoot very well. That's a brutal combination. You're not going to win a lot of games that way. But they also had no bench, and they had to turn to guys like Derek White and Grant Williams, and now you have Malcolm Brogdon. I think that is going to be a big factor. I also think turnovers is one of those things that guys that have the ball turn it over a lot. I think Trae Young, Giannis, and Luka lead the league in turnovers. Now, you say Trae Young and Luka are point guards. You know, Giannis really isn't, but he just goes to the basket all the time, offensive fouls, that kind of thing. But those guys, you obviously want to clean it up. You want that number. What was the playoff number? It was like 16 turnovers. You want it below that. That's a no-brainer. But I don't know. To say you have no faith in Tatum or Brown, or who are you picking? Just the Warriors again? I don't even know if they make it through the West. And I'm not ready to hand it off to Denver because of the good regular season. Maybe Milwaukee, I guess. But then you have a guy in Giannis who's going to turn it over a lot and shoot below 30% from three. There's a lot of great, great, great players in the league, and there's a handful of great teams, but clearly nobody's perfect. And, yeah, hopefully the Celtics can learn from their big losses, right, their playoff losses, and how do you overcome that. But I'll take my chances with Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, to me, is always still going to be a net positive. And Jaylen Brown, for the most part, is going to be a net positive. Yeah, there are games where he's maddening and he's dribbling the ball over his shoulder and he's kicking it out of bounds. I get it. But again, there's nobody out there that is having a flawless game night in and night out. 617-779-7937 is the number to jump aboard. Again, if you want to hit on the Celtics and their recent struggles, and do you want to blame it all on Joe Mazzulla? You know, we had one caller that wants to do that. He deserves blame, don't get me wrong. I think for the game last night specifically, probably more so than just the overall play style of the team. Bruins and the wagon that they are on the table as well. But when we come back, it's time for the Bet du Jour here on the Rich Keefe Show.
This is the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I'll have that.
All right, time now for the bet du jour. What is that? Great question. It's the bet of the day where Ben and I and anyone else who happens to be in pick winners. Just simply pick winners no matter what's going on in the night. We do it just before 7 o'clock because usually there's games starting right around then. And before we get to tonight's picks, Ben, let's recap what we did yesterday. I had Time Lord over 8.5 points. He soared past that. I think he finished with 9.
Oh, I thought he had 11.
Oh, did he have 11? Okay, maybe he did get 11.
So I guess still soaring past.
Oh, my God. It was looking a little dicey. I thought it was an easy pick, and I had to sweat that one out a little bit. But I was able to hit on that. So I'm now 9-7 on the bet du jour. And Ben got the empty netter from the Boston Bruins.
I had to sweat mine out.
Did you ever sweat that out?
Wow.
Because that looked like it was going to overtime. The Bruins were tied with Montreal going down to like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
Then Bergeron scores. And you're like, all right, great. They're going to get the win, but you're not going to cover. And then boom, empty netter, Pastrnak.
That's great. I saw it pop out. I'm pretty sure Hart was staring right at me when I saw it go in. And
sick. So
great relief.
Ben now an impressive 9-4. On the bet du jour. Now, we also took a big swing on a new feature within a feature called the Tuesday Teaser. So Ben and I will each pick a game, and then we'll tease it. So last night we took Mavericks over Wizards and Nuggets over Pelicans, but we teased it each 4 points. So Ben's Nuggets pick hit. My Mavericks pick did not. But alas, it's just one teaser. So we're 0-1 on the Tuesday Teaser. We'll see how long that lasts. I thought we were just going to hit them all, but we didn't. And so we're back at it again, bet du jour style. Ben, you have the more impressive record, so I will let you go first.
Well, I'm going with Giannis over 29.5 points.
Okay.
It looks like the Nuggets, I haven't seen the injury report out yet or the official report, but it looks like they could be with a very thin lineup, like no Jokic, no Porter.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling Giannis, as long as they don't blow him out, I'm feeling good about that 29 over.
No, that is a good one.
29.5 over.
Well, and this sucks. I saw people complaining about this, and rightfully so, is the NBA hates the load management. They're trying to you know, find ways to have teams not do that as much. And normally, you know, these primetime games, now this isn't like a TNT or an ESPN game, but normally they don't have those be the second night of back-to-backs. However, Denver and Milwaukee, they only play each other twice a year. Jokic and Giannis, I think, are what, the last three or four MVPs? Did Giannis win it twice, then Jokic win it twice?
That sounds right.
So nobody's won the MVP in 5 years, not named these two guys. They only match up twice, and this is the second night of a back-to-back for the Nuggets, and I know they cited some sort of injury with Jokic, but I think that's probably also the reason why he's not playing.
Hamstring.
Yeah, the old bum hamstring. Jokic doesn't even use his hamstrings the way he plays.
Yeah, so it was Jokic, Giannis. James Harden won it before that.
So there you go. So the last four MVPs were between those two guys, and unfortunately, it doesn't look like you will get that matchup, at least tonight. I'm going to go with an NBA game as well. Give me the over 231.5 points in the Wizards-Rockets. Also a second night of a back-to-back for the Wizards, who beat the Mavericks last night. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of points. So I had it locked in at 231.5. The Rockets are awful. Like, you could probably just take the Wizards to win this game, but the Rockets are 11-36. But they, you know, they score a lot of points. Like everybody in the
they
NBA.
They score a lot of points and
give
don't
up
play
even
defense.
More. They give up much, much more. So Rockets and Wizards, that's an 8 o'clock start, as is Nuggets and Bucks. So we won't have the final score by the time we get off the air, but we'll have a good sense on whether or not we got our bets. A little personal news here for everybody. I was supposed to have jury duty tomorrow. Canceled. Got canceled. And I was like, I've never had jury duty before. I wasn't sure what to expect. And I know it was like going around like a house of fire around here. I think Shime had it recently and Gresh had it recently. And so I'm like, I never had it before. They were like, you got to call the day before and find out if you're going in. So I'm prepared to be the deciding vote in like a life or death case. Like I was waiting, like I'm going to be the decide. And then maybe I write a book about it. Maybe it's a screenplay. I don't know. Maybe it gets a Netflix.
You haven't decided
up.
Yet which. Yeah,
I haven't decided. It could be a series depending on how many days I'm there. But I thought they were going to be like, here he is, juror number 7. It's up to you. Right now we have a hung jury, which is also a term. And I was like, oh my God, it's so much pressure.
So today were you like watching all of the like Law and Orders and everything to really get into it?
Every one of those things I was watching, I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be the deciding vote in another man or woman's life? I mean, that's a ton of pressure. So I was kind of psyching myself out. And then it says, call this number. And so I call the number and they say, just a recorded message. We don't need you tomorrow. So very anticlimactic. I don't know if this means I'm off the hook. I think I'm off the hook for like a year. I think if you serve, you're then off the hook for like 3 years. But so, I mean, I guess I could go back in like 6 months. But I don't know what the deal is. Have you ever had jury duty?
I've never had jury duty. I've never been called either, so.
And it's crazy because I think it was right after Shime had it. And I said on the air out loud, I was like, I've never had jury duty. Like the next day I get home and I had a thing in the mail being like, yes, you do. And it's in January. And I was like, oh my God, it was like 2 months out. So I was just waiting for it. And then it was supposed to be tomorrow. And I'm like, is that going to be like an all day thing? Like, do I have to take, I don't like, I'm sure I can be in for work at night, but what if it's such a heavy case and I just can't stop thinking about it?
What if you get like, brought in, was it sequestered and you're not able to leave the hotel or anything?
Right.
Like,
they're like, you can't tell anybody about it. They're like, what do you do for a job? Like, well, I talk.
Yeah.
Talk.
I feel like you probably wouldn't like the first question is like, what do you do for a job? Well, I speak on the radio for 4 hours a night. Yeah. Okay. See you later, sir.
I scream into a microphone. They're like, all right, we don't really need you in here. But I'm like, what kind of case is it going to be? Like, what kind of trial am I going to be on? Is this going to be one of those things where I could become famous? It's all on the table. It's all possible. Yeah,
they're interviewing every juror after the trial. Yeah. Like, why'd you go this way?
Oh, right. Now I could get on camera that way. I'm like, here, to break down the whole story. So it seemed like, and I think it's probably an experience that everybody needs to have. You can let us know your stories, 37937 or at Rich Keefe Show. I'm sure it's something that you feel like you, that's like your civic duty, right? Like you're
I feel like no one's ever gone in to be like jury duty. Like I'm super excited to do this. I think everyone's like, oh, I have jury duty.
Yeah, people usually, probably don't.
Come
really
on,
like it.
Cancel it. Cancel.
And that's what I got. And I was like, all right, there you go. Because we were also supposed to get this big snowstorm tonight too, right?
Yeah,
not seen it.
I think it's going to rain.
As of this point, it might just be a little bit of rain out there. So drive safe if you're out there right now. I don't think we're getting that big storm. They're like 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. They're like button down the hatch or buckle up. And I'm like, I think we're going to be fine. Didn't snow a flake on my way in here.
Yeah, so I had a couple flakes on my way in, but
enough to use the wipers?
No.
See?
No. Yeah, that was like it cleaned off my windshield a little bit. It's like, all right, this is good.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right, you can jump aboard the program, talk Bruins, we talk Celtics, we talk jury duty. Where else are you going to get that? Coming up next, we're going to get into the Patriots coaching staff. We know they added Bill O'Brien, but they're also in on the Shrine game, the old East-West Shrine game for the players that aren't good enough to go to the Senior Bowl. And the Patriots staff is going to be taking one of the sides. And a couple of interesting names that aren't going to be a part of it. So we'll get into that. You can join us as well, 617-779-7937. It's the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI.